Don't be defined by what people tell you. Don't be defined by what people tell you. When I was at school, they didn't have anything called dyslexia. You were just thick,
yeah.
Weren't you?
Yeah.
Just thick. And so, for me, it was, Stephen, thick table. Go on the thick table. Stephen, thick table. Yeah. And so I was on the thick table. And then when I turned up on one Thursday morning, we were taken from our normal room into the school hall, and it was all set out with desks and chairs. And, right, you're doing your 11 plus. I thought, well, that's all right, because I'm 12. But, you know, nobody prepared. We never had any pressures about exam, because nobody ever told us there were any. We just sat there, filled in our name, and looked at the rest of the questions, and didn't have a clue about any of them, so went out to play. And then afterwards, Stephen, you didn't pass your 11 plus. So, well, I didn't think I did, no. And so you're going to a secondary school. So I thought, oh, that's all right. And then I thought, well, I wonder who's going to a firstary school. If I'm going to the secondary, who's going to the firstary? And then I found out that people haven't a clue about the English language because they didn't call it a firstary, they called it a grammar school. And I thought, well, you don't know much grammar if you're sending me to a secondary, but there's no such thing as a firstary. That doesn't make sense. But you know, there's some people who are defined by their upbringing. There's some people who are defined by what has been spoken over them. You are thick. I apologise, I overheard your conversation. You were at Meadow Hall yesterday and you were talking about... I mean, you know, I've no sympathy, really. No sympathy. You know.
It's also known as Meadow Hell for a reason.
Yes, yeah. I don't think I've ever been, thankfully. No, it's not on my bucket list. It's definitely not there. It might be in the bucket, but it's not on my bucket list. And you were saying about how parents were speaking to the young children.
Yeah.
You know, shut up. You're thick. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. You're the other. And so often we can grow up like that. As a pastor, thankfully, I often get the opportunity of praying with people. I love people. I just love them. I love them. I won't want to live with them, but I love them. It's lovely to say hello, and, you know, I have a benediction that I can say after the opening prayer, or I can have a benediction that we'll say after the end of the meeting, depending whether or not I want to be bothered to spend too much time with them. But so often, you know, people come and say, oh, but Pastor, you do not understand my background. No, I don't. Please don't. Well, I was abused. Okay. Honestly. Please. I really don't need to know. Oh, but you do. See, this is why I could never be a doctor. You see? You know? Don't tell me. I don't need to know. Yeah, but I've been divorced and I've been this and I've been that and I've been the other. And then I said, listen. You are not a sinner. You are a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Stop living in the past and start living in the presence. God has dealt with the past. He is dealing with the present and he will deal with the future. So get a life and stop living in the, but you don't understand, my past was so hard. It was harder for Jesus. He had to die on the cross to get you through all of that horror of the past. But don't live in the past. Live in the glory of the Lord. Because you are not a product of the past. You are a product of the cross. But so many, many Christians are living like that. Depression. Oh. We used to call it, oh, he's having a bad mood, didn't we? Yeah, oh, he's a right moody one, is that one. But, oh, now, you know, if you're feeling sad, you go to a doctor and the doctor gives you some happy pills. And you can sit there and say, no, we don't. No. And then people define themselves by their prescription. I've got depression. No, you know, I find it so annoying. Do I look annoyed, Stephen? I find it so annoying, you know, insurance forms. Do you suffer from blood pressure? No. Do you suffer from cholesterol? No. Do you suffer from diabetes? No. Are you on any other medication? Are you on any medication for any of the above? Yes. And say, well, then you must have high... I don't have high blood pressure or cholesterol or anything else because I'm taking the tablets. So don't define yourself as, oh, I've got to be careful. Oh, I mean, don't be stupid. But live a life well pleasing to God. You know, back home we used to just say, for flipping... For goodness sake. For goodness sake. Cheer up. And when I go around to churches in my new capacity as a homeland missionary for OMS International, the propaganda, publicity material is on the back. There's so many churches who are very, very small in number, and it's war upon war and thrice war. Now, I'm sorry, but even the dead in Christ wouldn't come and join them. You know, just because you are living with a diagnosis, put that diagnosis next to the cross. Say it now. How many times do you hear people say, I'm dying with? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not, I'm living with. Yeah. Yeah. There's a fundamental difference to what's going on up here. You see, I'm living in the glory. Yeah, but your body's ill. I'm not the slightest bit bothered about if my body is ill or not. If it gets too ill, I'll go and see somebody like this. But in the meantime, I'm going to live in the glory. And Jesus was walking through Philippi. And as he's walking through Philippi, he's going along with his disciples. And he's really preparing himself and they for a horrendous experience, the cross. He's on his way to Jerusalem, and as he's going on towards and walking through Philippi, they changed the name from Philippi. Philippi was a town, a city on the coast, but they changed it from Philippi to Caesarea Philippi, and it's Caesarea Philippi that they're walking through. And as they're walking through Caesarea Philippi, it is one of the most godless places to be. There's perhaps maybe one church, but not many. There's no churches. What there are, it is punctuated on every street and every street corner with shrines to false gods. They worship the god of Pan. I do every Saturday morning for breakfast. I get the Pan out and do heart attack on a plate. But they were worshipping all of these kinds of gods, and as they're walking down the main street, they're seeing gods of different images, or images of different gods. And they're seeing different shrines to different gods. And they're seeing people worshipping at different shrines to different gods. And as they're walking along, Jesus is there with his disciples, and he just says to his disciples, who do you say I am? Dr. Luke tells me I'm depressed. Who do you say I am? You say I should be king. Who do you say I am? Oh, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Am I? Some say you're Elijah. Really? I'm glad they didn't say that some said you're Jeremiah. Have you ever read Jeremiah? Hey? Honestly, Doctor, if anybody comes to you and says, I'm depressed, go away and read Jeremiah. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, for goodness sake, he needed to get a life, didn't he? Didn't he really? Eh? For goodness sake. You know, and do you know what the blessing is once you've finished reading Jeremiah? What's the next book? Lamentations. You know, oh dear me, what a way to start a day. Hallelujah, give me another coffee. And and Jesus is asking a very simple question. We're walking amongst heathen, pagan culture. We're walking in the midst of non-Christians. We're walking in the midst of people who have no concept of God. Last night, Debbie and I, because I'm a romantic soul, I took my wife out for an evening meal last night. We just walked over the road at local pub. Yeah. And there at the Fox and Roman. Yeah. Where did they get that name from?
I don't know.
Is that a Roman fox or?
It used to be just Fox and then all of a sudden they put Roman on it.
I guess it adds a bit of history, just a bit of culture. A bit of culture than ours. And we had a wonderful meal there, we really did. Beautiful, lovely surroundings, great. Very full, packed out. But I was looking around and, you know, there was nobody doing anything wrong. There was nobody doing anything that was, you know, untoward. Everybody were enjoying themselves without a care in the world. And none of them had any understanding of the knowledge of God. Yeah. And then I'll explain this a little bit. Nobody acknowledged the presence of God in the place. What do I mean by that? I mean, that wherever we go, we are God carriers.
Yes.
You know, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, their hope of glory. So wherever I am, he is there with us. Wherever I go, I take his presence with me. Wherever I go, I should be radiating the love of God. And you go into a place and you feel God's presence and you think, wow, how come God's presence is here in this place? It's because you're there. It's because you're there. Are you feeling suicidal? Are you? Is it like this throughout?
You've got to have lunch with him yet, so you've got no.
Does he do this?
He tries to be discreet, but it really work, did it?
No.
No. It's all right. Forgive him though.
It was fun though, wasn't it?
Doctors.
Yeah. Yeah.
We all enjoy it.
Yeah, we do. And then Jesus turned to the disciples. He's talking to them all, although it's Peter. It's Peter. The spokesman, Peter. I'm not sure who set him up as spokesman, but it's Peter, the spokesman. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, well, who do you say that I am? Do you think I'm one of these? Do you think I'm one of these that provides your needs through secular entertainment of shopping and consumerism? Do you think I am one of these gods who meets and supplies your every need through pills and portions and... Please get me right, do not misunderstand me here. If the doctor has told you to take a tablet, a pill or a portion, flipping well, take them. Yeah. Oh, but I believe God will heal me. I believe it too. I also believe that God has provided doctors and nurses to give you medical attention. So don't stop taking the medication. Is that what you told me to say? Is that right?
I'll give you that fiver later.
Yeah, yeah. Keep on keeping on with them, right? But it doesn't define who you are. It doesn't define who you are. I do a lot of funerals, mainly for people who have died. But I do a lot of funerals. And it's amazing. Tell me about your husband. Oh, there's not much to say. What a terrible man. Oh, really? Yeah. The only time I knew where he was when he was in prison. All right. Yeah. Oh, no, he was terrible. He was a wife beater. Isn't he? He beat the children up terrible. terrible man. Oh, really? But he's in a much better place now. Oof. What? Well, he's in a much better place now, is he? Just on basic logic, you can't figure that out, can you? You know, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. But people are defined by their lives. He was a terrible man. Oh, he was a great man. But we as a nation, we have learnt what it is to get over God. We've learnt what it is to do without him. We've learnt what it is that, you know, if we have a real need, we will just go and sign on. If we have a need for food, you know, we'll pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. If not, I'm going to have to go to Asda and get some, you know... Lord, keep me warm in this time of difficulty in paying for the gas. Otherwise, I'm going to have to light another candle. And Jesus is asking these people, he's asking these disciples who are following him, He's asking them because they're coming into a time where the culture and the nature of society is changing, where the culture and the nature of the religious leaders is changing, where everything is becoming just a mess, where everything is becoming so absorbent. Everybody is just being told to accept everything and anything that's out there. And Jesus says, look, it's important. It's important. We've walked down the main street here and you've seen all of these things that could so easily distract you. We've seen all these things that would easily take us away from the joy of God. We've seen all these idols. We've seen all these things. We've seen all the nice car showrooms. We've seen the houses up for sale. We've seen the beautiful foods and the great big wonderful restaurants. And we've seen all of these things. And Jesus just asked, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. Peter, who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. You are the Christ. In days of old, when I was younger, we used to sing a fantastic hymn. And sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. I found the pearl of greatest price. My heart doth sing for joy. And sing I must, for Christ I have. Oh, what a Christ have I. And that's the Christ that we serve. And that's the Christ that we live for. And that's the Christ that we want to make known to all of the people in and around York. I believe in that word this morning that our eyes and our ears, you are going to see things that you have heard prophesied about and that you have prayed about. You will be seeing them in this year and the coming year. I can see this place full of people who are coming and saying, I want to find the Christ. On a Monday evening, back home, on a Monday evening, we have a men's fellowship, which I regularly attend. And we have it Starbucks coffee shop, and like you, every Monday night we have communion together, and we noticed that one of the girls that was serving coffee, she showed an interest in what we were doing, and so I said to her, I said, are you a Christian? She says, well, yeah, I do believe, yeah. I said, do you want to come and have communion with us? And she did. And now every Monday night, when we have communion, they actually stop serving for about 5 minutes. And all the staff come. They shouldn't be allowed to actually, because it's a man's fellowship, really. and they're women. But, you know, we're all told about this inclusivity. Is that it? Inclusivity. If you want to know what it means. And, you know, wouldn't it be fun? Wouldn't it be fun if next Sunday you just said, I'll let you know when we're doing communion, if you want to come in for 2 minutes, do communion. Mm-hmm. And if they say, well, it can't, okay. We'll take communion to you. And just when you've time, break bread, drink of the cup. Oh, well, we can't do that. No, no, no. That's breaking down all of the traditions. Good. Yeah. Oh, we can't do that. No, no, some of our folk will be upset about that. Well, get upset. It's easy for me to say that because I'm
going.
Any problems? See, Pastor Steve. Who do you say that I am? Don't worry, I'm not just starting. Can you bring that out and sort of put it flat? Use that one and just lay it flat.
Like that?
Yeah, that'll do great. So long as it doesn't go sh. Jesus had told them he had to go suffer and die. And Peter wanted Christ to be the king. He wanted Christ to be the king. He had no concept of a resurrection. But have a little bit of understanding for dear old Peter. One of the most misunderstood disciples in scripture, in my mind. Do you remember it was he who got out of the boat?
Yeah.
Oh, you terrible disciple. You took your eyes off the Lord and you started to say, hey, he got out of the boat.
Yeah.
All the others stayed in the boat. At least he got out. Yeah, but he started to sink. That's called the law of gravity. He's supposed to sink. The miracle is if he walked.
Yeah.
And Peter wanted Christ to be king, not to be the suffering servant of whom we read of in Isaiah 53. And Peter was ready to receive the glory for following the Messiah, but not the persecution. Christians, we're going to have to get out of the boat. We're going to have to decide who we believe Jesus is.
Yes.
We're going to have to get up to the mark, and we're going to have to stand up and be counted, and we're going to have to start doing things which it was quite normal for Christians to do. I think it's lovely, you know, to just pause and say grace when you're out for a meal.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful to show kindness to people. I think it's wonderful to be able to let people know where you've been on Sunday. I think it's amazing to let people know that you are a Christian.
Yep.
And in Matthew chapter 4, Satan had tempted Jesus to deny going the way of the cross there in verse 33. And the disciples are now doing the same. Don't do it. Don't do it. Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. Wow, that's strong, isn't it? Eh? Imagine, just because somebody doesn't agree with you, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. Men. Men. Do not say that to your wife. If she says something that you do not agree with. All right. Otherwise, make an appointment to see one of the two doctors. Because that eye will be shut and that ear will be. Behave yourselves. We have to be aware of the culture in which we are now living. And Peter said, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who do you say I am? Today it's dead easy. It's the Messiah, it's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. But what about tomorrow and Wednesday? We've sang some fabulous songs this morning, haven't we? And we've sung some fabulous songs. He's our healer. He's our redeemer. He's our salvation. He is our everything. And in verse 34 it says, take up your cross. The cross was a symbolism of Roman's power, Rome's authority. And so when the criminals had to pick up the cross and walk to the place of execution, they were submitting to the authority of Rome. It was a symbolic act. We're submitting to the authority of Rome. I think that's why God caused Jesus to stumble. He didn't carry the cross all the way to the place of execution. He didn't show his submission to the authority of Rome, only to the authority of God. But when we pick up our cross daily and follow him, it's not picking up a chunk of wood and walking, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh dear, woe upon woe and thrice woe. I'm walking in the King's highway, and one day by his grace I'll see him face to face. Hey. Come and be a Christian and be as happy as me. If you're saved and you know it, it's a sin. If you're happy and you know it, it's a sin. It's not. You will not lose your salvation if the doctor gives you a bad result and you say, hallelujah, I believe God.
Yes.
You are not going to lose your salvation if you decide, I'm of an age where people have said I'm too old. And Jesus is saying, I ain't even started with you yet, darling. Come on. There's things for you to do.
Yes. Yes.
Things for you to do.
Amen.
Yeah, but I don't know what's to do. Ask the pastor. He'll give you a list of things to do. There's neighbours to go see. There's neighbours to check on. But we can't do it, I've got to finish, we can't do it unless we know the Christ. We can't do it unless we know the Christ. We must move from curiosity to commitment. We've got to move from I'm curious about what's going to happen next at the Ark, to commitment to the Ark. We've got to move from admiration of Christ to adoration of Christ. Jesus constantly turns the world's perception upside down. If you want your life, you'll lose it. If you give up your life, you'll save it. Yeah. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Gain everything, you'll lose your soul. In closing, let me just say this. As a homeland missionary with OMS International, and as I say, publicity is at the back. Our prayer letter and our prayer cards and things. It's very, very difficult now to find churches that have got midweek meetings. Mm-hmm. It's very, very difficult today to find churches that have got Sunday evening services. It's very, very difficult today to find churches who believe in the gospel message of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation. It's very difficult now to find a denominational group that is serving God in the traditions of that denominational group. this inclusivity that we are asked to deal with is impacting the church. And the question has to be asked, is the world impacting the church, or is the church impacting the world? And we are not called to build the church. That's his job. I will build my church, so get your hands off it. I will build my church. So what are we supposed to do? Go and make disciples.
Yeah.
Go and make disciples. Oh, I thought we had to go and make converts. No. Go and make disciples. Oh, but, you know, I like people to raise their hand and say, I'm saved. That doesn't save you. It's only acknowledging the blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who died for all of our sins, that saves. Oh, well, I filled in a form. Good. That's the first step. It's the first step. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, you know, you phone the doctor's surgery, you got an appointment, and you say, I'm healed. What do you mean you're healed? Got an appointment. I filled out a form. Done it. He's redundant. He's sat there having a cup of coffee, going, hallelujah. Nobody's turned up today. Wonderful. Great. Just because we have an appointment one day to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, remember who he is, remember who you are in Christ, and remember, whilst we're here on earth, we are not living under, we are living over, and we are moving forward with him to see souls saved and backsliders restored. Let's pray. Our dear loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. You are the Christ. You are our Lord. You are our Saviour. You are our hiding place. You are our strong tower. You are our shield. You are our defence. You are the one who we call upon, and you hear and you answer. You are our Lord, our Saviour, our soon coming King. And so, Father, we rest in you this day, and we say thank you, God, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, oh, please tell us more and more about that lovely name. And when we are challenged, who do you say that I am? You are my Father, you are my brother, you are my Saviour, you are my Lord. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.